Well, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Hopefully you are glad on this. It's been a good weekend so far, hasn't it? It's been so nice. And I know that there might be a little more snow coming, but like 5 weeks till spring, right? 5 weeks till spring, and I'm excited about that. So I'm ready. Just a couple things I want to share with you. We are opening up a thrift store, and it is in Columbia City. It's to help raise funds for the ministries that we have, for the soup kitchen, for the Women's Life House, and also for the one we're getting ready to hopefully purchase here soon at the Women's Life House with Children, which is right next door to the Women's Life House we have already. So it costs a lot of money. They're about $50,000 to run each. So we just knew we needed to raise some more funds, and this seems to be the option that we're going into. So we're hopefully to open it up on March 1st. That's our goal. We've already invested some money into it, so we need to get some items. So this is where you can put in. If you have some items and you want to bring in, you can start bringing those in tonight. If you have, you want to bring in some, we want to say gently used items. We don't want to make, it's not a junk store, it's not a garage sale, it's a thrift store. So we are downtown right on the main drag there, about a block from the courthouse. And so we are downtown there, and we're hoping to, again, open that up in March 1st, hopefully the first week of March. But we need some more items, and we're working on that, and that's, there's some other places that are kind of helping there, hopefully. But we need, I think in first place, is we just need to put a little skin in the game ourselves, and so we're going to, you know, reach out to you guys if you have things like that. Anything from clothing is good, but you got to make sure the clothing isn't damaged and stained and all that, and we don't want, you know, couches that have stains on them, and don't get upset if it ends up in the dumpster, because we don't want the throwaways. You know, you can do thrift stores and do them in style. You can do them well, but we don't have to look like it's just a bunch of junk. We won't do well if it's a bunch of junk. So I think there's a couple things we don't take in, just to let you know. We don't do mattresses. We don't do mattresses, baby car seats, a lot of baby things like that. But I can't remember everything there is. So hopefully maybe next week I'll have a list. I'll give it to Randy and you can put it in the bulletin or something. So things that we don't take, but there are some of those things. But clothes are good, but make sure the clothes are clean. And I just ask you to wash them before you bring them in. Make sure they're clean. If not, they don't look at them, make sure they're okay. So hopefully you guys are be a part of that. And it is in Columbia City, so once it gets up, maybe in the next couple of months, you'll be able to stop over, maybe look at it and see what's going on. And so at least when we talk about it, you kind of know what we're talking about. So it's just called New Life Thrift Store. That's all it is. Hopefully get a sign up here next week or two. And we're just looking forward to that. So it's good stuff. Good stuff. So because of that and the Women's Life House with Children and all the things that are going on, a few weeks ago I said that I was going to be, I was not going to be pastor here, so I'm going to do a little bit of damage control real quick. It's not that I'm really stepping down from things in New Life Fellowship. Basically, I'm just stepping over into a different position. So I've had some people talk to me and just, you know, kind of thought I was abandoning everything and all that, and I'm not. I'm not going to another church. I'm not going to another organization. I'm staying with New Life. I'm just stepping over from pastor of Huntington and all the other things I'm doing, and so that I can do all the other things I'm doing and let someone else pastor as this Huntington becomes a campus. And so when we voted there in the end of December, through that, we ended up becoming a, you know, we're a church, but also New Life is a campus, part of with Columbia City and with Fort Wayne. So with those pieces there, we're all part of New Life, okay? So New Life Fellowship. So with that, I do want to let you know that Brother TB will be in here in sometime the first week of March. And March 6th, the way it's going to work is it's going to go like this. March 6th, he's going to come in. He's going to preach in the morning. We do have talent night. I'm not going to change that up. We're going to keep that focused. I don't want to change everybody up and mess everybody up there. I don't know if he'll be here Sunday night or not, but Sunday morning he will be. Then Monday, him and his wife are celebrating their, I don't want to say how many years, but no more years. But that night, he is going to be at our staff meeting. So if you're on staff, you need to be there. You can ask a few questions and those things. Once we're done with that staff meeting, my staff will make, we'll consider, we will hash a little bit with him out of the room for a minute. And we will come up with a vote to see if we want to bring it to the church. Okay? That's how you do this. And then what happens, if we decide to do that, we'll give it 2 weeks, because our bylaws say we need to give 2 weeks. And we'll send a letter out to all the members of the church, and then what they'll do is we'll come in on that I think it ends up being on Palm Sunday. I don't want to do it on Easter, for sure. Don't want to do it on Easter. We may do it on Palm Sunday after the AM service. And we'll do that, and then we'll stick around. And if it goes that way, then we'll vote, and we'll go from there. So that's kind of works. If it doesn't work, well, I'll be looking for someone else. But we need to continue to do that, all right? We good? My office is still going to be here, so some people are already trying to claim my office already. Can you believe that? I have a couple of people trying to claim. No, like I said, I'm not stepping down. I'm just moving over, okay? Position's moving over. My office is staying the same. So because TV can't do stairs very well a lot all day, because I'll tell you what, ask Randy, you get up and down them stairs, you're going to go up in them stairs all day long if you're in that office. And it's okay to go upstairs once in a while for someone, but all day long, no, because you go all day long. And so anyway, but it's good to be in the house today, amen? It was good to drive into some sunshine and not freeze to death driving in here, not fighting ice and snow and all that. And it looked like we had some shingles dropping off the roof. We had that wind damage. I knew that wind was going. I said, man, we're going to lose some shingles. And we did. I saw some out there. It's just such a high pitch and it's such a tall building. It's a fighting it all the time. I don't know if you guys remember when we first came over here. There was just little shingle particles all around this property and in the valleys of the roof, because I got up there. And this is like, man, those gutters were filled with shingle particles. And it's just, these kind of tall buildings, they do take a damage. They do take a hit. And I think that's why a lot of them go with slate or metal roofs now. But anyway, today we're going to be together. We're going to look at a topic today that we struggle with a lot. I think some of us think it's an easy topic, but we're going to look at it. We're not going to be able to handle all of it today, but we're going to mess with it a little bit here. We're going to dig into it a little bit because I think it's over. I think we think we know what it all means, but I think we struggle with it. I think we struggle how to experience it. I think we struggle how to give it. I think we struggle how to receive it. And today I want to go ahead and talk to you about forgiveness. So I want to talk to you about forgiveness today, and I want you to go ahead and think about that for a minute. Just think about the times when you needed forgiveness, and when you asked for forgiveness, and when you was trying to give forgiveness, and it just became a really big obstacle for you. And there's some things in there that just we struggle with. So I got a PowerPoint here, and we're going to work on a little bit on that. And is it on? I can't see it up here. Do you guys not turn on mine up here? Okay. Can you go turn that one on up there for me, Jacob? Thank you. Okay. So we're gonna look at forgiveness today. So forgiveness is something that we really, really struggle with. I think we do. I think we struggle with giving it. I think we struggle with receiving it. I think we struggle with it because we want to give it and we want to hold on to it. We want to give it to a point, but we want to keep a little bit of that, what somebody did to me. I want to keep a little bit of that because I'm still a little bit angry. I'm still a little bit upset about it. I'm still holding a little bit. I'm telling you, if you did that, you did not forgive, okay? You're trying to experience forgiveness, but you're not really giving forgiveness, or you're not really receiving the forgiveness. So there's a few things I want to share with you today. Number one is we need forgiveness from our sins. We need to look at that. We're going to talk about that. We need forgiveness of our sins. Amen. How many of y'all know that already? We know that already, don't we? Yep. But we also need to give it to others, don't we? We have a hard time with that one. We love it when the Lord forgives us of our sins, but we struggle giving it, okay? Because when we give it, we want to put lines on it. We want to put conditions on it. We want to put things with it that don't need to be there. And I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't do that, amen? All right? And then there's a part of it, you know what? If you're giving it and you're receiving it, I'm telling you, you need to experience the joy of it. Because I'm telling you right now that if you are going through, you know, there's a moment there where there can be some sadness through it because things happen in life, people do things, but I want to let you know there should be some joy when it comes through some time. There should be some joy through the times of forgiveness. Okay, so we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the sins, okay? So we're going to talk about the sin, all right? Alright, so we know this in Romans, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all are sinners, amen? We all are sinners. We know that. Every last one of us are a sinner. You're not as good as you think you are. I'm not as good as I think I am. Alright? We're just not that good. We're not good people. We're really not. Okay, we say, oh, that's a good man, that's a good woman. And there's parts of them that is true. There are some good people in the world, right? But even those good people are not that great, all right? It's amazing because when we start looking at this, grace just begins to fall upon my brain because I'm like, wow, why does God put up with people that are not good? But we see this, everybody is a sinner. Nobody gets past that, all right? Then it says in 1 John 1:8, if we claim we're without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, okay? Basically, we make God out to be a liar. That's not a good place to be. But if you say you have not sinned, you're deceiving yourself. I've had some people say, you know, I don't think I've sinned in 3 days. I'd rather take the humility part and say, you know what, I sin every day. I'm going to say that. I'm going to confess even to you today that when I pray, I confess because I think sometimes my conscience may be clear, as Paul says in the New Testament, but that does not make you innocent. Just because you think you have not sinned doesn't mean you have not sinned, right? We're not as smart as we think we are, all right? We're not that smart. This is why we need the Lord, amen? This is why we need the Lord every day and everything that we do, all right? But he says, if we confess, okay, if we confess our sins, all right, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and all of our unrighteousness, all right? So there's a part there that we need to learn, that we need to confess. We need to get before the Lord and seek forgiveness. Now, there are some people out there that says, you know what? Hey, oh, Jesus forgave me of all my sins and I'm good to go. I think it's true. But I think it's a part of it. We mess it all up. We think that that's a ticket to go out, and that's a ticket and it's a free pass to be able to do what I want with no conviction and no weight on it. It's like, well, I won't go there. Let's move on. Let's go here. Let's go here. Righteousness. What is righteousness? Let's look at it. If you take notes, a good time to take notes today. Christ-like living. That's what I believe righteousness is. It is. It's Christ-like living. Living in a godly way. Living in the way that God wants us to live. It's Christ-like living. If we bounce down to unrighteousness, the opposite of that is living for ourselves. It's all about me. I want to live my way. I don't want to live like Christ. I want to live like my way. I want to live a different way. And then so we become rebellious to the things of God. And we have a clash here. Let me tell you, we all know it. The Bible tells us in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything, right? How would you like someone to go in your house and mess up and just start moving everything in your house and doing everything that they want to do, picking up, being lazy, being messy, and all that? You would not be very happy with that, would you? That's what we do in God's world. We're trying to go into God's world. We're trying to use the things of God that He's created on the earth, and we're trying to use it the way we want to use it. And it doesn't work very well that way because it wasn't created to be that way. He also says that we also see this, living out biblical morals. There's a right way to live and there's a wrong way to live, and we need to know what those biblical morals are. They're all throughout the whole Bible. First one, I believe, was when Adam and Eve was in the garden, they just needed to obey the Lord. That simple. Obey the Lord. Obey what He says. That seemed like that was the very first one. You can do all these things, but this one thing you don't need to do. You don't do that. That day you do that, if you eat of that, you will surely die. And so the obedience of that was they were doing great, but when they disobeyed and unrighteous, and they sinned, well, there's consequences to it. We also see here it says, one who is holy in heart. That's righteousness. It's in your heart. It's not just your actions, but it's in your heart. There are people out there trying to live good, but they don't have Christ in their heart. They're trying to live right, but they still fall short. We see that in the first one. Where they still fall short. So there are good people, but they're still lost people. There are good people, but they still own their own sins. There's good people out there, but they're still living unrighteously, even though it looks like they might live righteously, but in their heart, we need to make sure that we have our heart is holy. Let me ask you a question. Do you think your heart is holy? What We'll come back to that. Unrighteousness, one who is sinful in heart. We always want to think the criminal, the one that's always out for mischief, the always wants to go out there and start trouble, and those kind of, the deviants and all those type of people. Yeah, I would call that evil in heart. But sometimes, we are all at this moment where we're just sinful in heart, okay? Sinful in heart. That's an unrighteous person with us. It's just in the heart, too. But what comes out of the heart comes out of the actions. So we need to know there's a difference between righteous living and unrighteous living, Christ-like living and worldly living. So we need to know today that we need forgiveness of our sins. And we do that by coming to Christ, asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins. Don't do it as a drive-through. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Forgive me my sins. And shoo, go. No. Listen, you spend more time in that sin than you have in that time of forgiveness. You need to spend a little time laying it out before the Lord, letting your heart open up. Sharing what it is. Say what you're doing. Say what it was that you did. Say what it was. Sin is an act that you do against in rebellion against God. Righteousness is a lifestyle that you... It's a lifestyle against God. Okay? It's living out a lifestyle against God. That's unrighteousness. And the sin is the things that you commit. So we know that we need to have forgiveness of our sins. We do that by speaking to Jesus. Two, we need to forgive others. This is the hardest one for most. Next one is the hardest for others. But for most of us, it comes down to this. We have a hard time. We want Christ to forgive us. We want people to forgive us. But we have a hard time forgiving other people, because what happens is when we have to give forgiveness to someone, that means they've done something against us. Somehow it has impacted our personal life. And in our personal life, someone has made a trespass or has committed something that has harmed us, whether it's in the flesh or it was in the spirit or it's in our emotions or heart. Maybe someone is in our family or whatever. So we want to get into defense mode. Boosh! We get in defense mode. Bible tells us this. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another. To be kind and compassionate to one another. Let me share this with you. If I truly believe this, that the Father shows no respect of a person. Many of us are there are some of us here today that are grandparents, right? Our parents or grandparents, right? Jesus could walk in this room and he would show the same equal love to everyone. To everyone. Not thinking that he would love you more than he would love you, or love this woman more than he loved this woman, or more love this baby than this baby, but we do that. We do that. And it's when we can speak to another one's child and spend a moment with them, or when we can speak with others and give them just the same amount of time as we give other people, and we can share with them and give them moments also as we give other people moments. But it says, be kind and compassionate to one another. We want it to happen in the world, but we have a hard time making it happen in the church. It tells us we need to do that. Forgiving one another. Just as God also forgave us in Christ. So I need to, when it has that mirror image where we're supposed to be like Christ, this is the part of it. This is the part of it. As Christ forgives us, as Christ forgives you, we are supposed to forgive other people. But we have this tendency to hang on to it. We want to forgive with condition. Now here's the thing. God has given us a brain. It don't work right half the time, but he's given us a brain. And in that brain, we have a memory bank, and we remember everything. Some of us may not remember as much as others, but as we get older, we begin to think we remember as much, but we don't always remember as much as we think we do. But why is it that we can remember what other people's done to us? We have a memory bank of an account. And we remember the things that people and what they've done to us. We're not going to let that go. Because they've done something to us. They've done something to my family. So we may say in passing, yeah, I'll forgive you, and we walk away, and for a moment, there's just a moment where we're like, okay, I give you forgiveness, and we walk away, and it isn't just within the next few moments or the next few days, it heats back up. And it's worse then than it was before. Be careful what you grant if you're not really going to grant it all the way. If you're going to give forgiveness, you need to give forgiveness and not linger and not hang on to everything but what someone has done to you. No, you cannot forget. And sometimes you need to be cautious. Sometimes we need to know, yes, that person continues to harm me, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a boundary around myself. I'm going to put a few walls around myself. I'm going to allow them in for a moment, but I can only do it in certain ways. I'm going to put them outside my circle. They cannot be my inner circle anymore. I've got to push them out just a little bit more. I'm going to forgive them, but there is a condition there. But it's not a condition of not letting go. It's not bringing it back up. You have to pray through that. But if the condition continues to be on the scales and numbers and always bringing up what they've done, there's no forgiveness in that. You're using that to your advantage. How many of y'all been in an argument and somebody brings the same thing up every time? Especially if you're married, you bring the same thing up every time. And it may be about something different, what causes the argument, what causes the dispute, but what happens is that one part, something that doesn't have anything to do with that one thing keeps coming back up. That means there's a problem. And there's truly no forgiveness of the experience of forgiveness. For he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now listen, we don't like this scripture, but it is true. Jesus says, I'm going to forgive you when you call upon me and you ask for forgiveness. I'm going to forgive you. You're going to forgive other people. But he says, if you do not forgive others their sins, and your Father will not forgive you your sins. You know what that is, right? Jesus said that. Not Paul, not Peter, Jesus. If you're holding a bunch of stuff against other people and they've asked you to forgive them, and you can't forgive them, and then you go to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you of what your messes are and your sins are and your trespasses and your unrighteousness, and you have not forgiven those. Let me tell you, what's the scripture say? Not me. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. It's not my scriptures. It's God's word. Jesus said it, not me. What he's saying is it's not all about you. There's some things you need to grant in your life. It's not about you receiving. You notice how much we receive from God? Do you know how much we receive from Christ? We receive from him every day. And he's asking that just a few things from us. If someone is asking for forgiveness, grant it. Give it. But I'm sure there's some of us here that has asked for someone has asked for forgiveness and not given it. You know that stuff will just stew in your heart. Now, the opposite of that is if we ask for forgiveness for other people, we need to go up and ask for forgiveness of them. If they don't forgive us, we need to walk away. We've done what we needed to do. We said it with an open heart. We said it with a real heart. We said it with a loving heart. Forgive me. I just want you, man, I'm sorry for what I've done. I shouldn't have said that. Most of the time, it's what we say. It's not always what we do. A lot of times, it's what we say. Words cut harder than actions many times. And when we apologize, and they turn around and say, I'm not going to forgive you. You know what? You've done what you've done what you could do. If you believe you've really tried, not the drive-through, really mention it, really talk about it, and they've turned around and they don't forgive you. You just got to turn around, you got to walk away, and you just got to pray about it. Lord, I've done what I could do. Is there anything else I can do? And if you feel in your heart, you're okay. You've done what you said you're going to do. It's okay. But you need to seek that sometimes, all right? So forgiveness, I want to help you with this. Forgiveness is easier said than done, but look at this. The first to apologize is the bravest. Now, I know some of you out there have not apologized for something in so long. Come on now, some of you are hard-hearted, some of you are hard-headed, and you don't even go. When's the last time you apologized to your wife? Husbands? When's the last time you apologized to your wife, to your husband, to your dad, to your mom, to your brother, your sister, your own children, your friend? First one to apologize is the bravest. You know, brothers and sisters love to argue. Come on, in the house, right? Brothers and sisters love to argue. And I don't care if they're 3 years old, or they're 25 years old, or 45 years old. There is still clashes all the time. All the time. Because I don't know why. One always thinks they're right. The other one always thinks they're right. There's this battle in the family for some reason. There's a battle in the family. One's jealous of a, it's just, it's crazy. But there needs to be more forgiveness in family than with friends. Believe me. You can change friends, but you can't change family, right? You cannot change your family, all right? Brothers and sisters, boom. It is the bloodline. It is you. You share the same parents, however may that be, but you are bloodline. You are family, all right? But the first one to apologize is the bravest, all right? The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget, that's the hardest part. The first to forget is the happiest. Isn't that what we want from the big bomb, the big nuclear bomb that happened in the family? The battles that go on, the bickering that goes on, the arguments that go on. You're not always right, but they're not always right either. Matter of fact, it's probably they're right less than you are, right? We're right more than they are, right? But the first to forget is the happiest. Now I can tell today y'all are discontent just a little bit because I see a lot of stirring. Because some of this stuff can go back 20, 30 years for us that are a little bit older. Because there's some things that may not have been taken care of for such a long time. And you harbor that. And you got a lock and skeleton key on that closet, and you've locked it in there, thought I'm just going to be done with it, but you never dealt with it. Listen, it can't be done with until you deal with it. The first to forget is the happiest. It's the joy. It's the peace that is indescribable that comes from Christ. But if you harbor unforgiveness, how many of y'all have ever been mad at your aunt? I'm a boy, is that? How many of y'all ever been mad at your parents? Really mad at your parents, just knowing, man, they are just off their rocker. Man, you just want to knock them upside the head. You just say, man, they just don't get it. They don't understand. I see them making mistakes all the time. And then there comes a point when you it just happens over and over and over and over. Listen, I did not grow up with, I think I was getting very close to until my father became a Christian. I think I was getting ready to grow up with an alcoholic father and some other things. And just, you know, if that's all you know, if you grew up with that, and if that's all you know, there's going to be a lot of unforgiveness in that. And some of that's going to be, and then that unforgiveness turns into anger. And then it turns into bitterness. And then it turns into hatred. This is where we get the true, not the comic books, not the cartoons, not the sitcoms, but the true love-hate relationship. I hate you. I love you because you're my parent, but I hate you. That exists so much in the world today. That exists so much in the church families today because we can't get through forgiveness. All right. So we go to number three, the joy of forgiving. What happens with the joy of forgiving? I want to tell you one thing. There's nothing in the Bible that mentions that you need to forgive yourself. I struggle with that because I teach a 12-step class. I do those and a lot of them. So there's a part there where you've got to learn how to forgive yourself. But what does it really mean to have joy in forgiveness? I'm not seeing, you know, I just don't see anything in the Bible where it says to forgive yourself. It says, do not confess your sins to yourself to the point where you need to forgive yourself. It says, we go to Christ. All right? What does the Bible tell us to do? The Bible tells us to draw to God. Draw to God's ways. Watch God's ways. Know that God has a future for you. And it continues to go. You watching, obeying, and following God, speaking to God, confessing, not ourselves. I put a note up there. It says, when we truly experience forgiveness through Jesus, there is no need to forgive yourself. We sin against Him, not ourselves. This is where we need. This is where we need to get that little switch in our brain, and we need to switch it. You're not in charge. If you're really sold out and you're carrying your cross for Jesus, you're carrying your cross for Jesus, you're living that righteous life, then you're not perfect. You get that switch flipped over and say, He's in charge. So if He's in charge, I need everything goes to Him. If He's my master, everything goes to Him. So if I want to experience what it is, I think that self-forgiveness kind of comes in later, but we just can't. I'm going to forgive myself for the things I've did. And they'll say, why? You're trying to justify yourself? You're trying to make yourself righteous on yourself alone? No, we stand on the Word of God, right? Our foundation is Jesus Christ. We need to seek forgiveness from Him. And from Him comes the peace when that gets taken away. That's the experience. We still choose to stew in it. When we still choose to stew in it and act as though we are not free from it, we keep it up. We keep thinking about it. We keep dreaming about it. We keep daydreaming about it. We're not done with it. This is why we have to wrestle in the Spirit at times. Lord, I cannot believe this is something that I did or something that someone has done to me. I'm wrestling with this. I hate what I did. I'm going to tell you, there are consequences. Even after Jesus forgives you, there are still earthly consequences. Amen? If you go out and you have a premarital sex and you become a father or you become a mother to someone that you're not married with, and you seek forgiveness from that and you get yourself right with Christ and you seek forgiveness in all the ways you need to, you can still end up being a father or a mother, right? There are consequences to that. But if we keep stewing over it, we keep thinking about it, we're not experiencing the joy from being forgiven. When we are forgiven, joy should be coming into our heart. Amen? Amen? Where there should be some joy. This is why I said we can't cover this whole thing, because there are some little bitty rabbit trails off to the side through scriptures that helps us through some things, but we just don't have time for that. But I want to let you know, if you are still thinking about what you did 20 years ago, and you can't believe you did it, you can say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for forgiving me of that. And I learned from that. And you go on. That's great. But if you begin to stew in it, and you begin to think about it, and it becomes a temptation for you continuously over and over, and you're not experiencing that true forgiveness that only Christ can give, that you can give to someone else or someone else can give to you. However it works, we need to make sure that we are getting before the Lord and asking for true forgiveness, right? So here we go. If with guilty feelings, we can accept the fact that we are forgiven in Christ. With guilty feelings, yes, I still feel guilty at times, but I'm not going to let that weigh me down. No, in Christ, I'm forgiven. I fight that battle for a moment. I've asked for forgiveness. I'm going to move on. Yes, there are those moments where you're going to have those memory. It's not a memory lapse, it's a memory coming back. Bam, Satan fires it right back. Yeah, look what you did back then. Look where you were at. Look what happened here. Look what happened there. Look what you did. Oh my gosh, yes, I did it. Oh, I'm forgiven for that. I had victory over that. Jesus gave me victory because I went to Christ. And so then I can have that. I can be free from it. With guilty feelings, we can accept the fact that we are forgiven in Christ. And we can only believe, or we can believe, that the devil is always making us feel guilty, always bringing it up, right? He always brings it up. Always. Satan always wants to remind you of what you did in your past. And he's trying to get you to commit that sin or another sin in the present. But Jesus is always telling you to strain forward to the goal, always to the future. Satan never wants to talk to you about your future. Because if you're in Christ, you're in Christ. Amen? I love that. You're in Christ. You're good. But you have a life to live, and you're in a battle zone, and you're in the flesh, and then you're living with the Spirit, and there's a conflict there at times. And Satan wants to keep picking on the flesh. Always wants to do that. Always wants you to be reminded of the past sins. Always wants to be you to remind you what those tickle, sensational, temptation things are for you. And he always puts them right in front of you. Stay focused. Now, Psalms 32. I want you to go there just for a moment. Because David messing up all the time, wasn't he? David messing up all the time. You know when David would sit there and he sinned with Bathsheba and he committed adultery? He came to God and he says, "Oh, to you, God, have I sinned. To you only, God, have I sinned." Let's go. Psalms 32, the joy of forgiveness. Verse 1, I got the Holman version, so that's where I'm reading from. How joyful is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. It's covered, right? So there's a joy when your sin is taken care of. I'm happy today. I don't know why Christians are not happy. There might be some downer days sometimes, but you know, I don't work through that. Those are the battles. But you know what? I'll tell you something. I walk around in the world and I see a world that's unforgiven. It's the opportunities there. The gift of salvation is there. They're not taking it. I'm so thankful that I took it. And I hope that you are too, because if not, you'd stand before a judgmental God and all your sins would be right before you, and there's nothing you can do about them because you're the one that committed them. But with Jesus in your life, you're going to have joy saying, you know what? I am forgiven. I am forgiven. He says, how joyful is the one whose transgressions and sin is forgiven. He says, how joyful is the man, in verse 2, the Lord does not charge with sin, and in whose spirit is no deceit. He says, now this is what happens when we mess it all up and we don't give forgiveness. He says, when I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hands were heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer heat. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin. There is a sin of unforgiveness. When you don't give it to someone else, I believe you're sinning. I think that's a sin when we don't give the forgiveness that someone's asking us, because we just read that just a minute ago. But I also believe that if we harbor our sin and we harbor those things in our life and we don't take care of it, there's a weight that comes upon us. Not like the world. That's all about their conscience. Us, it's in the spirit. And our spirit becomes heavy because there's a battle inside of us. We've sinned. We've done something against God, and we need that forgiveness. And what happens, he says, after all that is done, how joyful it is when God forgives me and when God doesn't hold it against me and I don't have the weight of that anymore because he's taken it away. That's the true peace that only comes from God when we seek it from him, not ourselves. Because if you do it to yourself, you'll put conditions on it. But when Jesus does it, he forgives you. Jesus, everybody came up to Jesus and says, how many times did I forgive this guy? 70 what? Thank you. If he told somebody to do that, how many times do you think he's forgiven you of that same old sin? A lot more than what we're expected to do. Jesus is not going to let you outdo him. But he wants you to bring it up a notch. And you start granting forgiveness to people. You need to seek forgiveness more than you're asking from him. And then there might be some joy restored back in your life. You might start feeling the joy of your salvation again. Unforgiveness, unrepent of sin, and not giving forgiveness steals your joy of your salvation. We're supposed to be the most joyful people in the world, yet we look like doom and gloom all the time. We got people spending more time in the end times than we are about what's going on right now. I think Revelations was given us saying, hey, I got you guys. I got you covered. I got a plan. I'm giving it here. I got a plan. You're in it, and you are amazingly all in it, and you are going to be taken care of. And we get, oh, my gosh, the seals. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And we get so caught up in that, and then we get these theological arguments. And then we get mad at one another for somebody believes in the post, pre-trib, mid-trib, and all that. We get all mad up into that.
And then we're not, and then we hold something against somebody because they didn't agree with us. We sin against one another. We're holding things we shouldn't be holding. We're holding things against our wives, against our husbands that we shouldn't be holding. We're holding things against our children that we shouldn't be holding. We're holding things against our family members, our brothers and sisters that we shouldn't be holding. Yes, they're more wrong than you. Okay, let's say it. They're more wrong than you. Your sister is more wrong than you. All right? Your brother's more wrong than you. But Jesus doesn't count it like that, does he? He says, for all have sinned and fallen short. I should just put every number system down to the ground and say, you know what? I need to get right with God. I need to first seek his forgiveness. I need to look in my heart and see who do I need to go ask for forgiveness from. And if somebody asks for forgiveness from me, Lord, give me the strength and the love to give it. And I think when you do it that way, that's a biblical way, you'll begin to get the joy back in your life. And I think the whole thing about forgiving yourself, I think God will give you peace through that. Because you went through him and no other way. So I don't know where you are with forgiveness, whether you need it or you need to give it. Someone's been asking you for it and you've told them no. But you're going to have an opportunity to take care of that. And no better time to take care of that than right now. Because we all need